Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
So, everybody, it is Super Bowl week. This is the Tuesday of the Super Bowl. We're going to shake things off here on YWC Football Talk's 279th episode with the girl with two E's and two R's because one E and one R was taken. If you guys remember from a few weeks ago, Sophie Weller back with us. Football, but football to your liking. Football where, look, the number 13 can be lucky. Football to where, kind of come up with another metaphor. You know, football where we're in our football era's vibe here on YWC Football Talk during Super Bowl week. And how are you doing tonight?
I am good. Like I said, I've been working on some Taylor stuff all day, so I'm ready to go.
So this is, it was a very weird podcast when I thought about it, but at the same time too, it's kind of that needs to be said, like I said before, it's kind of that the shake it off. It's that just general, like, you know, feeling like football's feeling 22 right now. There's all these, I'm going to try to get in as many of these puns as I can throughout the night. The main thing I just want to jump into, like, just we'll jump right into the deep end. The impact that she's had not only on the NFL, but just as an overall, like, what her and her status, because I don't even want to say it's like fame level, but it's because it's a status with her, like what her status level has crossed over to the National Football League, what the impact of that has been in your mind.
I think it's been amazing. And, you know, like, I think actually Roger Goodell said it very well, that she's brought a whole new demographic of viewers to the National Football League. I mean, you know, it's the same way. I think it was Front Office Sports reported that three beauty brands, two of which have never done it before and one of which hasn't done it in like 18 years, bought ads for the Super Bowl because they know how many people are going to be watching from that, you know, demographic.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that her appearances have been recognized, that viewership is up because of that. And I'm hoping it continues. I'm in full support.
Do you feel like the off season will be a weird, like not weird, but like the off season with all this, because obviously, look, the depression of the off season will kick in about 5 days and 120 so hours from now, maybe 123 once, you know, the trophy's lifted, whether it is Mahomes, whether it is Purdy, but we'll talk about that later. How can that demographic still be reached? Now, I'm not expecting Swifties to watch the draft. If that happens, like, that's how we know her impact's truly been great. But what do you think the off season can be? Do you think it'll just kind of go away and then it'll kind of pop up again in September? Or do you think she'll find ways to still be active within the NFL community?
I think she'll still be active because her relationship with Travis will still be going on. I think it's going to be, you know, paparazzi are always all over this girl. So it'll be all that. It'll be, you know, if he's with her on the Eras tour, if they're doing something together, it's still going to be so much interest from NFL fans and from those who don't care about football, but care about Taylor and Travis. So I think the off season, it's kind of going to warp into that like gossipy area where it's like, oh my God, the two went out for dinner tonight. Where did they go? Type thing. But people are going to be interested because it's the two of them.
So no blank spaces off season is what you're telling me. That's the vibe I'm getting from you, right?
Yeah, no blank spaces or bad blood between the two of them.
You said it, not me. But when it does come to this whole like situation, just because I feel like you're the perfect person to ask, not only because you are such a Taylor Swift fan. Hell, I saw on Instagram you went as her for Halloween. But the fact that you're involved in the football community so much, you know, I feel like you're that rare breed of personally, you know, where it's you have the Taylor Swift perspective, but as well, you have that football knowledge that we all have. So that's where I feel like everything comes together, because you know how you see – look, you see them online where now the shoe she was wearing. That's the one thing that really stood out to me was that New Balance shoe that she was wearing. I think it was the Week 3 game. How something like that sold out so quickly to now. The one thing that's always been on my mind about this whole relationship. If the Kansas City Chiefs aren't what the Kansas City Chiefs are. You know, that they're the next dynasty in the making. I still say that because, in my opinion, it's three to take a to make a dynasty, not two.
Yeah.
If it wasn't on this team in this situation, do you think it's still as big of a deal as it currently is?
Yeah, I think anyone, you know, whoever dates Taylor Swift is going to be the biggest deal there possibly is. She's the biggest star in the entire world right now. There's no denying that. She was Time Person of the Year. Like, things like that where it's always going to be whoever's associated with her is a big name. What happened to Brittany Mahomes alone, not just Travis. Yeah. Brittany Mahomes skyrocketed. You know, she was already a famous name, married to Patrick Mahomes, but since the two of them were out, I mean, it's this crazy new world for her. So it was always going to be a thing. The thing I always wonder, though, is, like, I love, like, their little story of how he went to the tour and was so sad he didn't get to meet her, and it kind of stemmed from there. My question is, if it wasn't such a big star within the NFL world, if the Chiefs weren't what they were, would that comment have gotten so much clout that it did to lead to possibly the two of them meeting? That's where my questions come from it. But however it happened, what happened, I'm so happy. Nothing had to change. That can continue forever in my mind.
That's a very fair point. I really like the points you made there just about, you know, everything to do with the fact that it is on a team. I always looked at it from Brittany's perspective of, like, you know, good for her, because I'll be honest, Brittany Mahomes was someone who always kind of, it was from the 2019 game, I don't know if you remember that, from when the Patriots played the Chiefs in Gillette, and she was clamoring about apparently how Patriot fans weren't treating her the best, but then it turns out that it was her that was doing the wrongdoing, and she made this whole ordeal about getting moved. But then quarterback really opened up the light to where you see the side of her that's with outside football, to where now I look at it to where you don't hear as much about her anymore. There's one other person in the Mahomes family that just caused bad headlines. There's another one that caused bad headlines, which one of those, thank God, we don't hear about anymore, and I will stand by that. To where now I look at the whole thing with, like, you know, with Brittany and even Kylie Kelce to an extent, where I look at that and just go, you know what? Good for them. Like, the fact that here's this mega pop star and you can just chill with her and watch football. Like, I feel like if you were in that situation, would you be like, I feel like you'd just be kind of standing there. It's like, hi, I'm here. I'm Sophie. Hi.
I think no one can truly understand, like, what's going through their minds or what it's like to be in that situation. I mean, listen, I've written some things, I've read some things about comments Brittany Mahomes has made that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't think they came off the best. But again, until you're behind a closed door talking to her like a human being and not someone who's this public figure, they're going to say things that you're not going to agree with, or they're going to say things because maybe they're nervous at the time. Being in that, like, that light where every single like person in the world is staring at you and analyzing your every move, that's hard. And that's going to lead to people attacking you or coming at you for some things that you said or some things that you didn't say. I mean, what was it? Taylor didn't mention Travis last night. And, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, are they, like, not together? You know, all that. It's like, no, it was her night. Travis is playing for the Super Bowl. She thanked the people who helped make her make the record that she won. So it's like everything is so hyper-analyzed. And so that's, you know, and I think it's funny, in recent days, this whole thing has, like, put that in my mind. And honestly, just talking with you here made me realize that all that more, that, like, oh my God, if I was in a room with Taylor Swift and, like, it was a normal, if she was a normal human being, if I was just talking to her, not like I'm this massive fan or anything, just what would she be like? Because we only know her as this figure. So I think that's the way that people have to look at it, from Britney's standpoint, from Taylor's standpoint, from anyone.
Because for them, there's got to be that imaginative starstruck. Because even though, like you said, Brittany Mahomes, very well-known name, it's the fact that you have, like, Brittany Mahomes who's here, and then you have Taylor Swift who's like, I'm going to put her above the dog that's behind you right now. Kind of in, like, that stratosphere star, to where it makes, you know, it puts everything into perspective for that stance of, like, where you look, even if you're famous, you can still get starstruck. Yeah. One question for you that I have. So, you know how everyone's focused on the jet, you know, her last show, I believe, is Saturday night in Tokyo, which I think is Saturday morning in Vegas, or like late Friday night in Vegas. More than the jet, and, like, you know how everyone's saying she's just going to, like, get off the plane, go right to there. Do you still feel like she's going to give her best show or do you, in Tokyo that Saturday night?
Oh, easily. I mean, again, I went to one of these shows and it was the night after. So I went, obviously I'm New England. So I went when she was playing at Foxborough and I went that last night that she played at Foxborough. And that was immediately after she gave, and it was an amazing show that I saw. But from what I heard, that Saturday night show was unmatched. That Saturday night show was pouring rain. Her piano even broke from how much rain. Like she couldn't use it when I was at the show because it was playing random notes during the song. She had to switch it all up. So, you know, when it comes to her fans, she is going to, and performing, she's going to give her best because it's also what she loves to do. I mean, she's not doing this just to do it. She yeah. said it before, like she wouldn't be here without the fans. And she also loves to produce music. She loves to go out there and, you know, I mean, every era that she had is like a different point in her life. So like this whole tour is about that. And she's going to go there, especially to go overseas and do it, is so big for her. She added more shows so more people could see it. I mean, a girl who, you know, isn't willing to give her best performance wouldn't do that.
I just want to ask, because I know everyone's so concerned about like, oh, if she ends the show and then she, you know, hops on the plane right away. Like I've always seen it as like, I don't think she's going to rush from the Tokyo Dome to wherever the private jet airport is in Las Vegas. And for, I know everyone likes to comment on, because I saw this too with like TikTok stuff where Olivia Culpo bought the McCaffrey family a complete suite at the Super Bowl this week, because, which my parents, I had to teach them yesterday that Olivia Culpo's got money.
Yeah.
Mainly my fiance. It was mainly my fiance doing it, but I was kind of like nodding my head in agreement.
Yeah.
To where Taylor's probably going to do the same thing. But at the same time, too, I feel like the whole, I want to go to the backlash part of it because I've been seeing all this stuff, you know, where I don't know how one person in the relationship has all of a sudden become to, you know, old man yells at cloud, or she's an asset to the Pentagon, or she's all this other stuff where people just, has she become the person that people want to hate on? Or is it just, do you think there's people that are jealous for some reason of this girl who gets maybe a second or like a minute of airtime for a 3.5 hour game that all of a sudden it's, I want to see football. I don't want to see this girl on TV. Like, I don't expect you to answer me if that makes you upset or not, because everyone's different. But at the same time, too, it's one of those things where you have to look at it from a perspective of, like, what would you say to those people out there that are kind of frustrated with seeing her so much?
Yeah, I mean, think about it this way. If someone you were in a relationship with or someone you were really close to was playing in a game and they wanted you to be there, would you miss that? Such a big game, too. Would you miss that?
No.
No. Her boyfriend, person she is in love with, the person she is romantically involved with, is playing in NFL games, a big deal, and she wants to be there to support him. That is not her fault. She has every single, even if she wasn't dating him, even if it was, she was best friends with Brittany Mahomes and wanted to go and watch the games, she's allowed to be there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think it was, you know, that AFC Championship game, people were so angry at how many times she was shown. It was like 33 seconds, I think, was like the official, it was either that or like 40 something, you know, seconds, by the way, that she was shown throughout the entire game. If you're mad about that little bit, like, that's crazy. She's someone who is there to watch the games, to support someone she loves, and there should not be anything wrong with that. She said it best in her Time Person of the Year interview, which was like, I don't care about the Brads, you know, Chads or whatever. I'm there to watch. I don't know how much they show me. I don't care how much they show me. I would be fine if they didn't. I want to watch football.
That's where she's like us. Like, obviously, you get paid to watch football for a living. And someone like me, I watch football for the love of it. If someone wants to pay me, hit me up. But all in all, it's, if anything, it's kind of helped grow the game for that perspective of, you know, the new audience. Because that's the thing, too. Because even I, like, New Heights was never really on my podcast rotation. But I started listening to it, like, this year and everything like that. Very good podcast. But they did this whole, one thing I think that the two of them did very well was they did a question and answer period where they had, you could tell it was a lot of Swift fans where they would come in and ask questions to where, at first I look at it like, why are they doing that? But at the same time too, you got to remember, these are women that probably have never watched a down of football in their life and don't know rules. So when they ask about these little things, that can help them to where, hey, the man who is dating the woman that they are in love with can help explain the game to them so that when they're watching it with their significant other, you know, it's like that chain effect of where now it's like, oh, hey, this happens because of this, or this happens because of that. Or even this Sunday, they can go to the Super Bowl parties. I'm going to say that because, look, if you're listening to this, I don't know if you have the $10,000 to go to Allegiant Stadium. But, you know, they can have a sense of knowing and knowledgeable, because this isn't a knock on anyone else, but for me, I've always just had a bit of a pet peeve of, like, when not explaining rules, I don't mind doing, like, little things here or there for the very complicated things. But, you know, the one person where it's, like, every play, it's like, oh, so what was that? That's where eventually I'm going to be like, okay, like, simmer down. The only exception I make is baseball, because baseball is a very long game. Meanwhile, football is kind of like laser vision, you know?
Yeah. I got you. No, I think I totally agree. I've always been a fan of New Heights. And I watched, you know, I've watched here and there, but definitely became more of a regular, you know, watching it. Not just from Taylor. It was also when I started the job. And didn't have homework constantly from college, bugging me.
That's nice feeling, isn't it?
To keep me from watching it, that helped a little bit too. But, you know, one thing I've noticed is they accepted and almost took advantage of all these new listeners. They know it. They're not shying away from the fact. And they even, like, make jokes about it. They're like, if you're still sitting through this podcast hoping I'm going to say something about Taylor, where I've just been talking about football for 40 minutes, like, good for you. But even those little plays where it's, you know, when they go over each game and all that, they explain, you know, this is what's happening. And there are even things I've learned from moments when they do that from just a player's perspective. It's so interesting to hear. And I think it's not only helped these new viewers, but even viewers like the two of us who know the game of football can appreciate it and see where they're coming from. So that's definitely helped them out for sure. And what I also like is not every podcast is made to be exactly all about her. They maybe talk about her for, like, I think at most was like the first one when they spoke about her, like the first game she went to. But now it's like, oh, like 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there. I mean, after the Bills game, it was mostly just talking about Jason Kelce shirtless. That was like the main topic of conversation. It wasn't even, you know, oh, Taylor was at the Bills game. It was like, oh, Taylor loved you even though you took your shirt off and was chugging a beer with Bills Mafia.
Oh, yes. Yes, because he's more of Jason's just an icon that, like, everyone can love. That's a big thing about that. And then now with football, like, while some people can kind of go, oh, you and I can recreate Drake and Future from that one music video they're working at Apple, where it's like, yeah, so, like, now, but those little details, like, so that you and I can get a further understanding of everything from there. This wouldn't be a podcast without you if I didn't obviously rotate gears back to the team that I love and that you cover. Just wanted to get your quick thoughts. Obviously, look, you were here when head coaching was announced. You were here, obviously, after Belichick left. Mm-hmm. Now that he's got his staff filled out, what's the vibe that you're picking up from with either within the organization with anything you know, or the vibe you think that's just being perceived about this new regime in New England?
I think the Alex Van Pelt hire was huge for them. I know Nick Caley was rumored to be, you know, the top of the list, but I think getting him in, you know, is someone who has legit experience. And while he was fired from Cleveland, I think his work with the quarterbacks, which is New England's problem, is something that has to be applauded. I mean, what, they went through four quarterbacks and still made it to the playoffs. The Patriots had, what, two quarterbacks who had been there for 2 years and couldn't even win five games. So it's like, he knows how to work with quarterbacks. He's good there. And I just think I'm actually in favor of that hire. I think that was a very good hire. DeMarcus Covington, I was on board from this jump. I think we all kind of saw that one coming.
Yeah.
And he's such a great coach. I mean, we spoke to DeMarcus multiple times, you know, it was always Tuesdays when we spoke to assistant coaches and things like that. And you could really tell his passion, his knowledge on that defense. So I think him, you know, helping run things will be amazing. And he has Gerard, who has been running the defensive meetings, even though he didn't have the official title. Him and Steve were splitting those duties, where Steve was doing the calls on the field and Gerard was behind the scenes in the meetings. So the two of them continuing to work together, I think is great for this defense, because they were still amazing this past season.
Oh, yeah.
And now the focus is on, you know, the draft and the offense. What scares me the most currently about the draft is this latest report that, you know exactly which one I'm going for, the Elliott Wolf report, that if he's in charge, they're going for a tackle with that number three overall pick. This is my plea. Like, please don't. Take Marvin, either of those two. I'm in favor of a quarterback. I've written a few articles about like how I think that's the move, but either of those, and I will be okay over a tackle right now. You need a tackle. There's no denying that, but not when quarterback is such a big need on the team and you have such a prime candidate available.
Yesterday, Pat Lane was on with me. I'm not sure if you're familiar with his work or not, Pat's Pulpit, or Pat's Nation Network, excuse me. So I made two comparisons with him, but I'm going to change it a bit for you because obviously you don't have kids. He has kids. And you know, when you're out, like, I'm not sure still, like, with you, I'm not going to judge, like, or assume, like, you know, like, whether if you're on your own or if you're still at home, but like, you know, when you go, regardless of what you do, you still, when we get older, you go grocery shopping for yourself. The situation that I made with the left tackle pick, it's the vegetables pick. It's a thing you do not want to buy, but you need to buy, and it's good for you, even though you're not the biggest fan of it. Meanwhile, the quarterback pick, that's like going down the frozen aisle and getting yourself a little sweet treat, you know? Hey, maybe I shouldn't be eating this, but damn it, I'm going to eat it anyway because I want to. That's the comparison. If they want to go left tackle, I'm going to say that I'm for it, but only under one circumstance, and that's if they trade down in the draft and rebuild and recoup assets to where if next year you get, say if Caleb Williams, the Commanders do this like crazy trade and that with the Bears where they swap 2-1 and then the Bears like, we want Marvin, and then May and Daniels are both available at 3. You then have a situation to where then teams are going to be calling, and if a team offers you their pick this year and their 2025 first round pick, that's going to be very hard to say no to, because we know that this Patriots team next year, they're not going to be a playoff contender. They're going to be that team. I still think, you know, you're at the bottom of the in the hunt graphic coming around Christmas time next season. I don't want to say year because obviously 2024 and it's February 6th, excuse me for crying out loud. That's where I look at everything with this Patriots team, to where if you want to rebuild and recoup assets, fine. But I just don't want to see a team do this, give up on the quarterback and say, hey, we can get someone else later on, and they're not exactly the same guy, and we're kind of back at square one 3 years from now. Thank you for listening to my Elliott Wolf style TED Talk. Shout out Jeff Howe and Sophia Weller with 1E and 1R, even though our handle is 2 E's and 2 R's.
Yes, it is 1E. But again, it was taken. Not much I could do about that one.
One of the best podcast laughter sound bites from McGarvin a few weeks ago when you announced that.
I'll take it, you know? Yes. I'll take it. No, but I think everything you said was spot on. If they trade down, I think it's definitely a valid argument to make to then go tackle. But with that third overall pick, I think is not the right call.
Get yourself the ice cream. Treat yourself, for Christ's sake. Yeah.
I mean, especially with people with this quarterback class that has so much, like, you know, has just gotten so much respect.
I didn't mean to cut you off or anything like that. I think the quarterback thing could also be, I saw some people say smokescreen, because I feel like then you may do it to see that if, you know, you can get some phone calls and then fleece and finesse someone for their picks, you know, what the Bears did last year. That's where I can see it happening. I can't see a trade draft night. If they're there in 3 and there's the quarterbacks available, they're not going to overthink it. I also said this too with this team next year, because I know a lot of people are saying like growing pains, and I'm like, yeah, I'm completely accepting that next year, that coming out of the gate, it's probably not going to be pretty. It's not going to be ugly, but we have some time to wait. We have some time to, you know, have fun with everything. But now I want to pivot gears with you, because obviously, look, there is a game they played on Sunday. When you look at this matchup, I'm not going to ask for your winner right now.
Mm-hmm. You mean when the Taylor Swift game, that one?
Yes, that one. Okay, I'm really glad you weren't serious there. Just look,
it is my job to know who's playing. I'm going to throw that out. I was totally kidding.
Oh, we know. Quick question. I just realized this. Are you a Zoomass kid?
I am.
Shout out to the Minutemen. Football's not the best there, but I know the hockey team's really good.
I covered hockey while I was there. I covered it for 2 years. It was really fun. Shout out Greg Carvel.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw there was a nice little feature on them that Chicklets did a few weeks ago that where they went up to Amherst.
Who did? Sorry.
Spin Chicklets, Barstool.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it is Amherst. Okay, I got that right. It's like, yes. But going back to the game as a whole, when you look at these two teams, when you look at what you see, what's the one thing you're before I ask a couple other questions, what's the one thing you're really going to be watching for this coming week and Sunday?
I think I really want to see – I'm a fan of Brock Purdy. I think this story is so incredible of Mr. Irrelevant, you know, going from the last pick to the Super Bowl. The last two games, we've seen a slower start. And as Patriots, as a Patriots fan, as a Patriots reporter, we know all about slow starts. So I think, you know, last week they were able to pull it back and they were able to get the win. I think against Patrick Mahomes and this Kansas City team, that's not going to be as realistic. It's, you know, if they start slow, Patrick is going to charge them down the field and they're going to take full advantage of that. So I think what I'm really looking for is to see how quickly the San Francisco 49ers can get out there and can get the offense rolling. Because I think that's what's going to be the deciding factor in this game.
And, you know, obviously everyone could ask, oh, who's going to be your MVP? Who's going to be that player that really sticks out? I want to ask you the player that sticks out, but that you're not thinking about at the moment. Everyone's had different answers. I've given some. I want to see where you're leaning. Who's a player that you, like, you know, you have eyes on that, like, right now no one might be talking about, but after the Super Bowl they might be talking about? Because, folks, we're recording this on February 5th, and we all know what February 5th is. Who's going to give that James White-like performance this coming Sunday?
Well, so you have Charles Amenu, who I'm always screw that one up, who's out.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, that one was, and that's a brutal loss for them. Oh, this is a tough question.
Oh, did I stump the reporter? I'm proud of myself.
You did. This is a tough one. So I want to go like just Kansas City defense as a whole to deal with like that whole thing of losing him. You know, was it Chris Jones? He's going to do his thing and terrorize people.
Yep.
But you know who I kind of want to see have a big game that I think deserves it after the AFC Championship is MVS. I think after that catch, it's 2 years in a row where his catch has solidified the game and sent them to the Super Bowl. It would be nice if it's like not like a last minute catch. It's like, oh, that's like a massive play or a few massive plays in the middle of the game.
Kind of like that, and I hate to do this, but that Julio Jones toe-tap catch in Super Bowl 51. You know, yesterday, Pat and I actually did look this up because he was telling me, I don't know how much of a sports gambler you are, and which tomorrow's episode, folks, Degenerate's Guide to the Super Bowl Part 2 coming out, but MVS's total over on yards right now is at 18.5.
Wow.
Minus 120, so you might put a little bit of money on to win it, but if you feel like throwing a parlay together on DraftKings, that's the way to go.
I'm not saying I'm an expert and I know it's going to happen, but I just think out of anyone who deserves a big game, it should be MVS for just like how much hate he's gotten this year. We're also making these like big catches and big moments.
Exactly. And also too, on the Brock Purdy note, cheap plug for myself, but I actually wrote a piece yesterday just about his unlikely path to greatness, you know, where when, and I'm not saying that he's already a great quarterback, but you know, he's on that Tom Brady, Kurt Warner path of, no one believed in him. He was passed over. And now look, has a chance to be the first ever. He'll be the first ever Mr. Irrelevant to start a quarterback for the Super Bowl. But he could also be the first ever Mr. Irrelevant to win the Super Bowl. And that's pretty damn impressive. Quick question before we wrap up everything. I saw online Taylor Swift themed Super Bowl party. I got to ask you, as a Swiftie, as the girl who went as Taylor Swift for Halloween, and who I want to say boyfriend was Travis Kelce.
He did. I did make him do that.
Okay, so
he's a Ravens fan too. He was really mad at me for that one, but I got away with it.
He's even more mad at you now for the last like week and a half.
If I had asked him this year, probably would, like for this coming Halloween, I would definitely lose out. But because I got him I got him a little before the game, we're good.
Yes. Do you? I don't know if you saw that video online, but of the Taylor Swift themed Super Bowl party. I don't know what you're doing for Super Bowl. It's everyone's space, but. If you were hosting a party, would you do something like that, or would you leave that side of football? Like, would you leave that outside of a Super Bowl party?
Listen, I love the videos. I'm always down for a big, you know, fun Super Bowl party. I don't think I would be able to throw. I mean, that was so perfectly done and so, like, creatively done. I think I would, you know, my idea is to make, like, cookies that say, like, go team. I was making Go Ravens cookies last week for him, just, you know, so he could have his thing, whereas, you know, I had my Taylor Swift shirt on. So I think for me it's like football in that sense. I just watched a game. Our my idea of like a Super Bowl party is like you have like appetizers galore and you're just like going crazy and eating while the game's on and you're just talking about and reacting to the plays. So that would be my thing, but like I commend anyone who's doing those crazy Taylor Swift themed Super Bowl parties, and I want to see more videos and pictures because they're amazing.
I'm kind of in the same boat, even though I did place there's a donut store about 20 minutes from me that's doing they're doing Chiefs and Niners themed. They do it every year. We did it for the when it was Patriots in the Super Bowls, we would do just Patriots donuts. We didn't do Rams, we didn't do Eagles, but like we did Bengals and Rams a few, like we didn't do it last year, but we did Bengals and Rams 2 years ago. And this year we're doing it for KC, we're doing it for San Fran, so we're having fun that way. Like stuff like ribs, wings. I don't know if it's an American thing, but obviously for mine, obviously NFL reporter, CFL reporter, and the CFL's championships in November, and Chili's a big thing, so there'll be Chili involved as well. But that's just my little sense on that.
I have a family member coming in actually from overseas in Europe. Just to visit the family around this time because it was like what worked for her. And she said when she found out it was like going to overlap with the Super Bowl, she's like, oh, I'm so excited to finally experience an American, you know, Super Bowl party. So we have to deliver on that one.
Nice, nice. Now, if I had to ask you Sunday, who you got?
As much as I want the 49ers to have that miracle story, the way the Chiefs have been looking in these playoffs, I mean, it's nothing like we saw during the season. They have completely pulled it together. And the connection between, you know, outside of Taylor Swift, like the connection between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce is insanity right now. I mean, it is literally Gronk and Brady, where anything that goes up, they're catching. I mean, what was that? There was that one pass that Mahomes was like almost sacked on, and he just kind of like lobbed it up and Travis like dove for it last game. I mean, that's insanity. So as much as I, you know, I want to see that story for the 49ers and to have Brock, you know, become the Mr. Irrelevant, turn Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, all that, I don't know if they are going to be able to get past this Chiefs team.
There's a fun little question also I wanted to ask you as well.
Well, first you have to give me your take.
Oh, mine? I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you off air. Mine is going to be announced on my last podcast, which is coming out this coming Thursday, guys. Myself, Kyrie Thompson, and McGarvin. The three of us will be here to talk, and that's when I'll give my pick. I'm going to give it to you off camera.
That's an all-star cast, and I swear this was not planned. I did not know that.
It's not. No, the three of us will be back. Plug? And here's the other thing. Oh, it's a cheap plug, but here's another cheap plug, guys. With the Dynasty documentary coming out, we're in the works of it right now, but Sophie's going to be back with us to review some of it. McGarvin, the three of us, the original three amigos that were on here a few weeks ago, we're going to be back to review the Dynasty. I did learn this last night, though, that it's being released two at a time. So maybe if we can arrange something to where we review it either, not every single week, but maybe like we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out.
Tell me I'm here.
Love that. It's a music question, but it's not a Taylor Swift music question.
Let's hear it.
Apple Music halftime. The lights are down. What song is the first song you think Usher plays on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Ooh. See, I want to say yeah, like that's my like my heart's telling me that, but it seems too obvious. Like last year, I'll be honest with you, my fiance, she nailed Rihanna's.
Really? She had that? That one was wild. I
She
didn't know.
had that. I had Please Don't Stop. I think it was Please Don't Stop the Music or something like that. Yeah, and there was. I'll DM you on Instagram because like I always post my betting stuff, and there was one where it's like when you had this, when you bet this to be the song, and it's not, and it's this person like slouched in a sports book, depressed, and I'm like, I feel this in my core right now, so I'll send that to you after. But you know what, guys? It's always fun to talk with Sophie Weller, who's now, I can say this now, reoccurring guest on the podcast.
I love it. I'm always happy to be here. It's always so fun.
It always is because you know what? Once this week is done. There's no more football for 7 months. But in 7 months, actually, just because this just got announced and my ADD brain has been scrambling this entire time to try to come up with stuff to talk about. Not so much the who and the where, but we now know that it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles going down to Brazil week one, Friday night.
Wait.
I like it, but also too, I'm glad they didn't do the Saturday night because one of my best friends is getting married that Saturday night, so I for 2 years in a row now, I get hung over Sunday football that week one. But do we like the idea of the international series being so early on in the year, or do you feel like they should have waited for like the rest?
I'm all for an international series whenever they want to have it. I love what they're doing. Even just for me, the experience of getting to cover that game in Frankfurt this past year is an experience I'll never forget. It was such an amazing trip and such an amazing opportunity to be, there and experience. It was so loud there. It was not, there were no boos when the Patriots couldn't score. There was nothing like that. It was just pure joy of being in a football, being here and watching a football game. So I think these international games are incredible by the NFL. And I
Yep.
really hope they continue. And a week one game, I think, is great. I have, I'm all for it.
I like the week one aspect just because Brazil's a weird, tricky one to get to where now you can plan it out and then you get that like mini bye week to get back home and get reacclimated with America. Will Jason Kelce be playing there? I don't know. But there's one more question I have for you before we retire, before we go, because it's about retirement actually, and it's on Jason Kelce. Do we think this is the last game Travis Kelce plays as an NFL pro Sunday night?
Nah, I think those rumors are crazy. He's like already said multiple times, I still have gas left in the tank. I still want to play. And he's still proving he can play. I don't see it. I think Jason definitely could be, but I don't think it's I would be shocked if Travis decided to hang up his cleats after this one.
I just see the Travis thing because then this rumor got open to me in November where, Travis is he's got the world around his hands. He wants to make that switch over to Hollywood and acting. Not saying he's gonna be like this, like, what The Rock became when he transitioned to acting, but he wants to get into that Hollywood world. And I feel like the door is as open as ever, but I feel like the longer he stays with Taylor, the longer that door is just gonna remain open.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's less about that. I mean, I think he'll if and when he wants to make that transition, it'll happen after football, but I don't see him purely deciding to stop because of that aspect. He's going to stop when he can't give it his best anymore. That's every good NFL player.
The rare ones that get to retire when they say they want to, not the ones that have to retire because you're told you can't play no more or because the team isn't signing you.
Sometimes you're lucky enough to retire twice,
You know what? Sometimes you wear number 12 and you get that honor. So we love that. We love that. But anyway, Sophie Weller, thank you very much for coming on once again. Reminder to
Yeah.
everyone, tomorrow night, episode 280, A Degenerate's Guide to the Super Bowl with all your favorite sporting gamblers. Tweet will be coming out very soon. But anyway, Sophie, thank you very much once again for coming on. We'll see you again in a few weeks for
Happy.
the documentary recaps. But anyway, guys, have a good night. And remember, we're in our football era right now.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.